This sermon by the Reverend Cynthia Park was recorded at the Church of St. Clement in Alexandria, Virginia, on June 3, 2012. It is preceded by the Gospel of John, as proclaimed by the Reverend John D. Hordam, Rector of the Church of St. Clement. At the Church of St. Clement, all are welcome at the Lord's Holy Table. For more information, follow us on Facebook at Church of St. Clement, or on Twitter at, one word, St. Clement, VA.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with anyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to Ordinary Time. This is what our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters call this season in the life of the Church following the Feast of Pentecost, Ordinary Time. And some people in the Episcopal Church also call it Ordinary Time. If you have always wondered what that means, I will solve the riddle for you. It means the season in the Church where the weeks are numbered in order. It's not very complicated. It's not a great mystery. There are 30-some-odd weeks in ordinary time. But don't think for one moment that ordinary has the meaning of mundane. For these are the days of the life of the church. A couple of weeks ago, the lectionary cycle brought us the story of an apostolic lottery, the event where God invited the 11 to cast lots and see whether it would be Matthias or Barsabbas who would replace Judas. The lots fell to Matthias. Well, John and I have our own lottery here at the Church of St. Clement. It's around who preaches on certain topics, the Trinity being one of them. I am uncannily lucky in this regard. This is the third year running that the lots have fallen to me to preach on Trinity Sunday. I think that there's a certain Trinitarian perfection in that, this being the third time it has fallen to me, and very likely the final time that I will ever have the privilege of preaching to you on Trinity Sunday. But take heart, John said. If you don't want to preach on the Trinity this year, you could always preach on the gospel and explain to them how they can be born again. Ha! I said, that's too easy. I love preaching about being born again. No, sir, I will take on the Trinity. So I went to his shelf where we keep a very heavy book that traces theological ideas down through the ages. And I rolled up my sleeves and I lugged that book into my office, put it on the desk and thought, okay, long holiday weekend, we are going to finally crack the Trinity wide open. I spent that Monday holiday reading some in the book of the Trinity through the ages, but also packing up my apartment, because I'm moving from one apartment to another. On Tuesday of that week, I drove to Richmond to have my candidacy interview with the bishop. John was away at his holiday house with his family, but we talked that night by phone, and I said, I think it went pretty well. Anyway, Wednesday, I came back here to the office. The day school was gone, things were kind of quiet, and I thought, back to it. I was up to about the 5th century of what people had to say on the Trinity. Apparently, while I stepped away from the desk, a phone call came in that I missed. But the person left a message. Unfortunately, I did not pick up that message until Thursday. On Thursday, when Pat Stoffel and I were there, I picked up the message, and it was from our assistant bishop, Ted Gulick. The message said, "Hello, Cynthia, it's Bishop Ted. Bishop Shannon has asked me to ordain you to the priesthood. How's June 11th? Call me back." And I realized that in 11 days, something that I had been discerning for 15 years was going to happen. John asked me later, how does that feel? Does it feel too sudden? I said, well, I guess it's a sudden announcement, but it hasn't been a very sudden process. Anyway, we will talk later about how the parish will put together an ordination in now 8 days. But that's okay. It'll all work out. The important thing that you need to know is the impact of all of this on my preparation for following the Trinity down through the ages. Over the past 3 days since I got the bishop's news, I have carried around a folded up old service bulletin. In the margins of it are scribbled pithy quotes from the theological book. Neat, nice, tidy sayings about the Trinity that I especially wanted to weave into a carefully crafted sermon. But it's not the sermon we're going to hear today. But I kept these notes with me, and I thought about them so much, I dreamed on Thursday night that all my pithy statements were falling off of the service bulletin, and I was scrambling around in the midst of all the moving stuff to find my notes. There was really only one that I wanted to keep, and I remembered it the next morning and wrote it down. It says, "The doctrine of the Trinity is not a man-made creation superimposed on our faith. Rather, the Trinity is a gift from God that God's agent of time has opened up for us to enjoy." That note resonated with me because way back last week, before the holiday, before the bishop's phone call, before Pentecost, John and I had met together to discuss the Trinity. And after several minutes of John holding forth on it, I finally said, "What difference does it make? All the polls say that if you took away the doctrine of the Trinity, it wouldn't make any difference to what anyone believed. It wouldn't make any difference to people's faith." "Well," he said, it makes all the difference. And whether or not people understand a mystery has never been the basis of faith. "But beyond that," he said, "the Trinity makes all the difference because of the Ascension and because of Pentecost. See it from the perspective of the apostles. They had lived side by side with God incarnate every day for 3 years. Then God incarnate died and was gone from them for 3 days. Then he was back with them. Then he was gone again, this time ascending with a promise to return and send them a comforter. And then the comforter arrived just last week, like wind and fire blowing about with apparent random. Surely, they must have thought to themselves, surely Jesus will be back any day now, just like he promised." "This," John explained, "this is why the Trinity matters. Because he did come back. Just not like they imagined. He came back 100,000 million times, and he still does. He came back in community. He came back in a communion of persons, the lover, the beloved, and love itself, distinct and yet entirely coexisting. Impossible to know one without knowing the other two. The Holy Spirit, love itself, had set a fire, an uncontrollable blaze on Pentecost that would not be contained." My notes on the Trinity soon became overwritten by ordination notes, hurried flight schedules for friends and family, details about the music, what canonical forms we needed to have ready to sign, whether there would be rehearsal time, not to mention still trying to move from one apartment to another. I finally stopped and sat down and said, "Lord God, set your agent of time free in me. to uncover for me the gift of communion in the world that I'm in right now. Just yesterday, we celebrated here the marriage between Carolyn Long and Jimmy Hyatt. Surrounded by family and friends, this longtime beloved parishioner of St. Clement was able to celebrate her wedding here in this place, leaving behind beautiful flowers, which I hope we'll keep for 8 more days. Yesterday, I represented the parish along with some other people at St. Andrew's Burke, where we saw the celebration of 6 ordinands ordained to the Sacred Order of Deacons, including 2 who are very special to this parish, our recent seminarian Leslie Stephenson and Joe Meltzer. I ran into one woman at the reception who said she had met Joe here, then she saw Joe again when she went to Grace Church, and then she went to St. Andrew's Burke and Joe was there. She said, I feel like I followed Joe all over the diocese. And I noticed the trinity of actions that took place at that ordination, where every one of the 6 was represented and presented to the diocese by their parish. And so there were 6 parish banners, standards behind each of the ordinands. And then Bishop Gulick received the ordinands into the diocese on behalf of the church, laying his hands on each one of them and asking for the Holy Spirit to empower them to go out into the world, to its margins, to fiercely love. Some of us were following news from a diocese a little to the south, where yesterday in Atlanta, Georgia, they elected their first ever African-American priest as the 10th bishop on the 3rd ballot. How Trinitarian. Who would have imagined just a short time ago that in this bastion of Southern gentility of the Old South, that an African-American would be elected bishop? What an exciting day. Finally, yesterday afternoon, when I could finally open my email, I noticed that the Caring Bridge website for my young cousin, Luke, had a message posted to it by 13-year-old Luke, not by his mother. Luke wanted to weigh in, he said, on what it was like to have cancer, on what it was like to lose his leg last week. He wanted everyone on that website to know that in his mind, losing his leg had made him better in 3 ways. Mentally, he said, he was more focused than ever. Spiritually, he was more grateful. And physically, he was more determined. He said, it was going through all of this, surrounded by my family and held up by love and prayer, that helped me see God's face. I chose only 3 anecdotes out of all that I saw this week in honor of today. Just 3 of the ways of experiencing God in the action of loving, being loved, and love itself. A blazing glory that illumines every moment of every day. Why does the Trinity matter? Because if we only look for God where God used to be, we can miss where God is now. In the face of every person God sends us to love, and in every circumstance where we find ourselves. Perhaps, in true Trinity fashion, it's okay to look for God where God used to be, as long as we look for God where God is now, and teach ourselves to expect that where we go tomorrow, God will also be just waiting to show us more. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Church of St. Clement, located at 1701 North Quaker Lane in Alexandria, Virginia. Our hearts and doors are open to all who wish to worship with us at our services weekly on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., Tuesdays at 7 p.m., and Wednesdays at 12:05 p.m. The service at 10 a.m. on Sundays includes a children's Sunday school and nursery. At St. Clement's, all are welcome at the Lord's Holy Table.